Welcome back to the Political Checklist here on the Rundown blog. I'm the political editor here at the NewsHour, David Chalian, joined as always by senior correspondent Gwen Ifill, senior correspondent Judy Woodruff. It actually is a pretty busy, newsy political week here in town. I want to take one quick look backwards for a moment to the president's speech to the Chamber of Commerce, happening at the same time while Republicans in the House are making this big anti-regulation push. Is Obama becoming a pro-business president now, Judy?
I don't think he's not becoming a pro-business, but he doesn't want to be an anti-business president. He wants to be a president who at least has some lines of communication open with the business community. He did that to some extent, picking Bill Daley to be his chief of staff, creating this new innovation business council with Jeff Immelt, the head of GE. But what he's trying to do is say, I'm listening to your problems, and frankly, to try to undo the impression that he was just somebody who thought business was responsible for all bad things and was in such a bad place with business that it was going to hurt him going into the
election. Do you think that the administration felt that the anti-business label was fair?
Oh, they think it went too far. They didn't think it was fair, but they thought they realized they had made an enemy of the Chamber of Commerce, which wasn't their intention. So now what they're doing is shifting emphasis. So they talk about the I words, innovation, infrastructure, investment, which, you know, people can interpret differently. But their point is, let's talk about the things about which we agree. We agree education's important, and they agree on race to the top. They agree on trade. Let's talk about that. It's a matter of emphasis rather than agreement.
There is a new book out. Gwen, you did a review in the Washington Post today. This is talk about backward looking. We're going back to the era of the Bush administration, and Don Rumsfeld comes out with his book, Known and Unknown. He's been known unknowns? Known and unknown. He has been rather quiet since he left office. He was fired by the president in 2006, and we have not heard much from him since. Did he bring something new when you read this book? Did you see something here that you hadn't seen before?
I read this book, by the way, so you don't have to. I'm here to do you that favor because it's 800 pages, so it was quite a book. But what he's trying to do is relitigate the past. And he sat on the sidelines, as you mentioned, and he read all the other books that came out about the administration, his time there. And he saw very little he liked or agreed with. And he also had some scores he wanted to settle. He's very unhappy with Condoleezza Rice, who was the first the National Security Advisor and then the Secretary of State. And in his understated but searing way, takes at her and at Secretary of State Colin Powell and at everybody from Ricardo Sanchez to Bremer, who was the head of the Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq. And he just sees the world differently. And he's famous for having written snowflakes, hundreds and thousands of memos that he now uses to back up his arguments that he was right. That's the basic argument. I don't think it's going to change people's minds about what the litigation of the war was or what was correct or who knew what. It's pretty well settled in the American mind that the administration decided to go into Iraq fairly soon after 9/11. And you can go back and forth about when that happened. But that's been settled for a lot of people, but not for Donald Rumsfeld, who doesn't think he's gotten a fair shake and is going to try through this book, like so many other administration officials have, Karl Rove, Scott McClellan, you name it, and Jerry Bremer as well.
George W. Bush,
and George W. Bush, to tell the story their way. He's actually quite tough on George W. Bush in his way, but you have to peel through all 800 pages and add it all up to realize his basic critique of the president is that he doesn't think he listened to him.
The arc of his career is interesting because he goes all the way back to the Richard Nixon administration.
Absolutely.
This is somebody who's been around in the national security arena. He's been in the private sector and in and out of
presidential
candidate. So I have not read the book yet, but I actually look forward to reading
that
it and seeing what his arguments are.
It's actually the most interesting part when he talks about his years with Ford and Nixon.
I want to look ahead to the biggest political event of the week, and that is CPAC. This is the conservative organization, comes together every year here in Washington. Lots of young conservatives gather. It's put on by the American Conservative Union. And of course, this, when it happens in this odd year, the year out of a presidential, it's the first big cattle call of the 2012ers. What do you look for, Judy, in an event like this?
I think we want to see what the reaction is to them. I mean, you're right. It is all about watching them, seeing how they perform on stage, how they perform in front of a friendly crowd. Do they get the juices flowing? And as I think we've all commented here before, it's late in the cycle. I mean, at this point 4 years ago, we already knew that Barack Obama was running. We knew that Hillary Clinton. I mean, we knew who the out party was running. It's just not clear who the front runners are among the Republicans. So these kinds of events are important.
Gwen, is this an opportunity for them just to toss red meat and get the folks excited? Or do we learn something about the story that these candidates want to tell for themselves, the narrative they want to shape going
red
forward?
Red meat. Yeah. I've been covering CPAC conventions for years, and this is the one time in which they are as red meaty as they'll ever be, because they know who the audience is. The audience is in that room, usually it's just within that hotel room, and wonks like us who watch it. This year, they also have to find a way to throw enough red meat to satisfy the Tea Party element in the party, which has always been in that room but hasn't been as vocal and organized. So it'll actually be interesting to watch. I'm not so certain as interesting as a test of presidential mettle as it has been in the past.
Of course, it all ends with that straw poll, so we'll have something to talk about next Monday when we gather here.
We're
for
not
the
talking about
political
that
checklist.
Poll.
Oh, we are going to talk about that straw poll. That does it for this edition. Be sure to click us on again next week. Thanks for watching.